Lita pushed herself to the limits, and her grit and determination got her through it.
Broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio at the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, it's time to design your life on Status Life with Lita. Status Life with Lita is presented by Derek Hayes Law at 404-777-HURT. And by 5 Strands Affordable Testing. Invest in your health at 5strands.com.
Well, today's my day. I get to take over the show. I get to put you in the hot seat and ultimately question you in ways that you normally question me.
And question everyone else.
Exactly.
So we are in season 5, and in 5 seasons, Derek has never had control of the show. And today he does.
Derek has been told the morning of the show, the night before the show, sitting in the chair to get ready for the show, this is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel, not even sometimes, let me rephrase that statement. I feel like the best shows are the more organic, and maybe being more seasoned at this, I remember in the first season, I had to write every word of the show. It. The prep, and I would get nervous, and we have to tape. And the more you get used to this and the more you get used to podcasting and really doing radio like this, it's better organic. I like the less prep because you get the most organic responses. You get the most emotion. If you've prepped and you've done all this work, and then I've even noticed with some guests, we'll have a phone call and we'll go through some notes. And then you get on the show and it just doesn't always have the dynamic feel that it should. The prep was almost better than what comes out in the show.
Sure. We stay away from the script as best we can. We try and make notes about big points we want to discuss, those kind of things. But as far as a scripted podcast, that's not for us anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Initially, maybe the first few shows, but since then, absolutely not. So today we want to talk about lessons learned by pushing your mind, body, and soul to the limits. And I'm talking about her. She's done it here recently in many ways, and I want to talk about that. We've talked a lot in prior podcasts about the ways that you did that. You strengthened your mind, body, and soul. You've had experts on the podcast. We've done lots of shows about that. But today I want to dig deep about you and personally deal with how you deal with tasks and situations that can stretch you to your limits.
Okay.
And you do it a lot. And today, specifically, the show, I want to talk about things you've recently done. Adventures, we can call it that, adventures that you've done to be able to do just that, to push your mind, body, and soul to the limits. I want to talk about those lessons and your journeys of a lifetime. And I say journeys plural because many times people have one journey of a lifetime, but you've had two in a very, very short period of time. So let's lay the foundation first.
Okay, absolutely.
We're going to talk about KDA. We've discussed this before in prior podcasts, so we'll kind of run through this quickly. But KDA, talk about that first.
KDA is a nonprofit that is very near and dear to my heart. For my longtime listeners, you know we've done multiple shows. KDA is Kidney Donor Athletes. And myself being a kidney donor, we're coming up on my, 7 years?
7 years.
Kidney anniversary, where I was fortunate enough to be a match and give my father one of my kidneys. He is my recipient. And Kidney Donor Athletes, wow, what an amazing organization. The mission of KDA is to show people you can live an active, healthy lifestyle on only one kidney. Many people are afraid to donate. They feel it's going to change their quality of life, whether they're an athlete or, again, just being healthy in general. And Kidney Donor Athletes really is working to dispel that myth and is saying, not only can you be healthy, but we're going to put these kidney donors on these incredible adventures, and we're going to have them shout from the biggest mountains in Africa, from volcanoes in Guatemala, from all the other incredible stuff. KDAs run races, they kayak, we just live this crazy...
Marathons?
Lots of marathoners, lots of runners, but other sports as well. We're not just hikers and climbers, and I actually was not even a hiker before Guatemala that I did in December. We've done a full show on that, so... A reference, you know, back to that, the first adventure, but now we've got more to add.
Yeah, and like I said, you did two adventures of a lifetime. The first, as you mentioned, was Guatemala and 3 volcanoes in 4 days. How many KDAs were on that trip?
Oh, I should know this.
Wasn't it 19? I think you said.
Was it 18 of us and one filming a documentary? We had Brian Teal with us with two kidneys, but again, he was the documentarian. Yeah.
And then you did Kilimanjaro. You summited
Okay, like dun, dun, dun. You just said it, but that was the big point of all this.
Yes.
We need a little more emphasis on that.
No, you summited Kilimanjaro,
yes,
which
thank you.
In and of itself is an amazing feat, but to have done it on one kidney alone is incredible. So in Kilimanjaro, you mentioned a while ago when you were talking about Guatemala, that was back in December. Mm-hmm. You summited three volcanoes, but when was Kilimanjaro?
2 weeks ago, I got home. 2 weeks ago, today, actually, was the return when I had gotten back from Africa. So I left on March 5th. Podcast Live Forever. I always say that. So if we're going to reference dates, I'm going to reference years because somebody may be listening to this in 2 years from now. So March 5th, 2024, I left with how many?
I think you said 14. Am I correct on that?
14 of us, kidney donor athletes. And flew to Tanzania, and the journey began. I arrived in Tanzania on the 6th, and wow, just an incredible adventure. And I know we're going to dig deep into that because it's not truly just about the adventure. It's about the mental toughness, the physical toughness.
The grit.
Woo! I like that word when it comes to what transpired on that trip. And since. The last 2 weeks have been very challenging getting back, and we have to talk about that.
Right. She mentioned, too, on the Guatemala trek, the volcano climbs, there was one person that had two kidneys. It was the one that was filming the documentary. Likewise, on the Kilimanjaro trek, the summit, there was one person in that group that had two kidneys, and he is...
Emmanuel, my dear friend. I was so excited to meet him. He's from Atlanta. He is a kidney transplant surgeon at Piedmont Hospital in Atlanta. He's also Tanzanian. He's from there. He spoke the language. I can't even describe what it meant to me to have him as a friend, but also to be able to do this incredible adventure with him. It was just wonderful because he's just a genuine soul. I needed some medical attention after the summit, and he was right there, you know, next to my tent, ready to help out and use his medical expertise, which was not why he was on this trek. But and then he got sick. He got a really bad sinus infection, and I was able to come to his rescue. And I know it may seem silly that I had DayQuil. I wasn't using it, that I was sick with dehydration, but... we just help each other, and there's no stores. There's nothing. We're camping. I mean, you're reliant on what everybody else has in their bag. And anyway, that's not what our bond was about, but definitely these little tiny things. Who has medicine that's going to make me more comfortable? So
I want to talk very quickly about a couple of, you know, just follow-up questions to that before we go deeper into the Kilimanjaro track. So what led you specifically to agree to do, let's start with Guatemala because that was the first one you did, the three volcanoes in Guatemala. What led you to agree to do that?
I love adventure. I love KDA. It puts the two of those things that are very near and dear to my heart together. I just thought, what a cool way to experience another culture, something to train for, the awareness, the KDA mission, the friendships that I'm going to form. That's huge for me. I've talked about that many times on the show. Just, I thrive on connection and other people. I just knew however many KDAs were going to be on that trip, that we were going to be bonded for life when you do these incredible trips. Everybody has a similar story, but a different story, and you just want to find out those stories and bond with each other. And it's definitely the case. We did a KDA Zoom call after Guatemala when the documentary came out, and I was more excited to see their faces than I was. The documentary is amazing, but God, just to see my friends that we just did this incredible trip with, that was everything for me.
The same question, but let's, instead of Guatemala, let's put in there Kilimanjaro.
Okay.
What led you to agree to do, again, just an amazing feat, to summit Kilimanjaro? What led you to agree to
do that? This one was different in that the opportunity came much quicker. So Guatemala was, I saw a post on Instagram, mm-hmm, where you fill out a job form and you say, you know, I'll do this media and I'll fundraise this. And it's more thought out. And I had seen it, and I think I sat on it for about a day. And I was a yes, but a little like, oh no, this would be amazing. I'm going to go do this. When it came to Kilimanjaro, I didn't have an original spot on that trip. This was a whole different team of KDAs that were going. Unfortunately, for someone else, I don't know who this person is, after Guatemala, it was in January, and an email or a WhatsApp came across, and it said two people on the Kilimanjaro team have had to back out for different reasons, injury or something, and we have two spots available. Would anyone be interested? And oh, and again, if you're following Status Life with Lita, this is my year of yes. I am supposed to say yes to everything organically that hits with my five value words, and adventure travel and meaningful work. Those are two of my words. Hey, who wants to go to Kilimanjaro? I think I was first. I think without any hesitation, I threw my name in the hat. Number one, I'm in. So,
and you actually told me, not before you were going to do it, but after. Oh, by the way, I've signed up to Summit Kilimanjaro.
I was at work, right? And I said, yes, guess what? Yes. I'm going to Africa.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Now, also, too, with that in mind, just very quickly, what training did you do? Let's say with Kilimanjaro, because we've talked a lot about Guatemala before, but what training specific to Kilimanjaro did you do?
Well, I didn't let off the gas after I came back from Guatemala. I work with a trainer in the gym 3 days a week, and I do a lot of lifting, well, a lot of strength training, rather. I am a consistent runner, walker, runner, hiker, and so I just lead a very active physical lifestyle. It's probably 4 to 5 days a week that I'm doing something. Some days it's two times a day, where I'll go to the gym in the morning, and then the yes part where we just adopted this lab and I'll take him out for a long walk or a hike. But it's, to me, it was just strengthening your muscles. I live at sea level. I'm here in Metro Atlanta. And so I didn't have a great way to get elevation training. Natalie, who's been on the show before, she did invite me on a hike, which was wonderful. We did 8-9 miles one day in the North Georgia mountains. Wish we could have done a lot more of that, but busy mom. And again, I only found out weeks before Kilimanjaro I was going. So for me, just not letting off the gas, just maintaining consistency in the gym and trying to get as many miles on my tennis shoes as I could.
So again, we've talked a lot about Guatemala in a prior podcast. So go back and listen to that. You had the podcast with Chris as
yes,
the guest.
Chris Sullivan is our, Natalie is our kidney donor athletes. Ooh, there's a bright light. And Chris is our VP, but they are dear friends of mine. And I just have had the pleasure of getting to know them throughout this journey and them being here on the podcast. But they have incredible stories too. It's not just about these adventures. It's about their donations and their life and their active lifestyles and their grit and their determination. They've both summited Kili. They were together in a different track. And Chris and I did Guatemala together. So this is a community. This is something that is really been built through KDA, and these friendships are going to be lifelong. And we welcome more. The whole point of me saying this is, if you have donated a kidney, if you're considering it, if you know someone that has, tell them to join Kidney Donor Athletes. Come one, come all. There's room for all of us. You know, the more the merrier.
All right. Well, again, let's focus specifically on Kilimanjaro. Was there any fear and or, let's say, doubt about summiting Kilimanjaro when you first heard about it? Now, again, we've done podcasts on fear. We've done podcasts on doubting yourself and those kind of things. But to you specifically, before Kilimanjaro, was there, yes or no, was there any fear or doubt?
No.
Okay.
I love fear.
Why not then?
It's my whole platform here. Something about me loves fear. I love to tackle something that I'm afraid of head on. I do so many shows about it because I'm good at it. Does that make me arrogant to say that?
No. I don't. No, it again, that's grit, determination. That's the ability to conquer those things.
And I feel like I'm just giving this blanket answer, but that is my answer. I had no question in my mind that I wouldn't accomplish it. It wasn't fear-based. You know, it was more being a mom and having to step out of my busy mom life for 2 weeks. That was the hardest part.
Sure.
I kept saying that. That was my biggest hesitation, is my children. It had nothing to do with me. It wasn't physical. There's something inside me that just knows. If I had any reservation, it was just very silenced because I absolutely knew. But I would say I wasn't shouting from the rooftops, I'm going to summit, I'm going to summit. I would say to people, I'm going to attempt to summit. Mm-hmm. I think deep down I knew I was going to accomplish it, but I didn't want to go with that level of arrogance in case I had a problem.
Sure.
I came we're going to get to that, but I came very, very close to having a very serious problem. An hour from the summit, I fell apart. I don't know where you want to go
jump
with
ahead.
The show.
We'll come back.
He's in charge, but I'll give you that little teaser that there was a moment where I could have thrown in the towel. So anyway.
So on a different approach to this, I do research as an attorney. I research all the time. I research anything and everything. When I found out from you that you were going to summit Kilimanjaro, I started doing the research. I read, I watched videos on YouTube. I did all those things so I could know what you were going to have to overcome, what was going to be ahead of you in doing that. You didn't. You specifically told me, I don't want to know anything. Don't tell me. And so I didn't. It was tough because there were a lot of things I wanted to talk to you about. But with that being said, why is it that you did not want to research and did not want to read about it?
Good question. This has something to do with me as a person. This is the way that I travel. No matter where we go, I don't like to watch a lot of YouTube videos. I started watching, so Embark Explorations is the company. They were the ones that led the Guatemala adventure, and they also led the Kilimanjaro adventure. So if you are going on one of their trips, they have ample media, YouTube videos, you know,
terrific resources.
You can get on YouTube and very quickly get lost in hiking Kilimanjaro videos. But that's somebody else's experience. Doing it just on a, pretend it's not adventure travel. It's just, we're heading to the beach. It's somebody else's trip. You're watching this. I absolutely prefer to do a trip or an adventure with my own two eyes. Yes, there are some things that you need to know as far as safety and the travel and what to pack and all that. That's great. I mean, that's just the guidance and I don't know if it's the boundaries, but it's the shell of, okay, this is what we're going to do and this is what we're going to experience. And I did print out from Embark each day of the hiking in case I wanted to know at night what was up for the next day. Mm-hmm. But that was the first time that I would even look at the next day was the night before. Okay, tomorrow we have to do 6 miles and it's moderate.
The elevation.
Tomorrow, you know, now we're going to go to the lava tower and that's at 15,000 feet and they're going to bring us back down. It would be the night before. I don't like to know. I just don't. I don't even know where this comes from. I think it's just experiencing it for myself, but I don't know. I don't want to be anxious about it. I don't want to be fearful about it. I don't want to dread it. I just want to tackle it in the moment, no matter what it is. Good, bad, difficult. If you don't know, then you have no reason to be fearful.
Sure. I want to come back because we have a lot more to talk about with Kilimanjaro specifically and fears and doubt and pushing your body to the limit. Also the grit we've talked about. But before we do that, a quick reminder that Status Life with Lita is sponsored by Five Strands Affordable Testing. Gain personalized insights on how your body interacts with your diet and lifestyle patterns. All they need is five strands of hair, and you'll receive personalized results to help you reach your health and wellness goals. Visit 5strands.com to learn more. And when you go to 5strands, when you go to purchase, there's a coupon code section. Put the coupon code in, which is
LITA10. And it's 5, like the number 5. Don't spell it out. 5.
Correct. 5, the number 5, strands.com, and LITA, L-E-T-A, 10.
For 10% off.
Correct. Yes. And that'll give you 10% off.
Fantastic product. We talk about it every week.
So
five strands. We're about to five strands our dog.
We are, exactly. She's not kidding. They do have one for pets.
Is itching, and I feel so bad for him. Just what was it this morning? You're like,
correct.
Send in the five strands. So
that's
it's coming to you.
We'll learn about food allergies and things of that nature that he has.
Food intolerances.
Intolerances, correct.
Yes.
So let's take this quick break, and we'll be right back.
Tired of experiencing bloating, eczema, diarrhea, or weight problems? Get to the root cause of your dietary discomforts with 5 Strands affordable testing. No need to schedule time off work. Just collect and send in 5 strands of your hair to see how intolerant your body is responding to over 600 common food items. Intolerance reactions are not life-threatening like allergies, but are responsible for most daily discomforts. Achieve your dietary and lifestyle goals by visiting 5strands.com and ordering your at-home collection kit today.
Hello, everyone. As a listener of the Status Life with Lita podcast, you already know I'm attorney Derek Hayes. I've been practicing law in the state of Georgia now for over 26 years. My firm specializes in cases involving personal injury, catastrophic injury, nursing home abuse, and any other situation where someone was injured by the negligence of others. As I've said before, if insurance companies ever resolve claims the way they should, I'd be out of a job. But I'm not worried about that happening. Did you know insurance adjusters are trained to pay you as little as possible to protect their company's bottom line? They say they're genuinely concerned about you, but really the goal is to settle the claim with you for far less money than you deserve. My job is to make sure they pay the full value of your claim and nothing less. You can speak directly with me by calling my office at 404-777-HURT, visit my website at derekmhayes.com, or check out my social media platforms on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And be sure to catch my podcast, Injury Insider with Derek Hayes, wherever you enjoy your favorite podcast. I look forward to speaking with you. And we're back. I want to pick back up with the Kilimanjaro topic. We were talking about research. You didn't do any. I did all the research beforehand. But let's go to that very first day when they took you out to start the trek, to start the summit. What thoughts were going through your mind as you took that very first step, knowing you had 8 days total, 6 days to get to the summit, 2 days to come down? What thoughts were going through your mind?
Honestly, in that moment, it's all excitement. We were very ready. There's a lot of hurry up and wait. So they bus you to, we did the Limosho route. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And you get there, you've got your gear, but you've already gotten dressed, you got your boots on, you're ready, and then you have to sit and eat lunch. And these are very long lunches. So, okay, you sort of settle into that moment, and they feed you, and then they have to clean it all up, and then they have to go get all the permits. So you're waiting, and yet hikers are going, and all you want to do is go. Like, their group got their permits already, and they're gone. And but again, your guides and your porters, they're making sure that they have absolutely everything. There is, I don't have the bracelet on today. I've been wearing it constantly. There is a term in Tanzanian, and it is pole pole, which is slowly, slowly. And they say it constantly. Everything is pole pole. And I love it. And I bought a bracelet that says it because that was my takeaway to come back to my life.
And I learned they also say Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
They actually say that frequently.
He was joking. I was like, no, they say that a lot. And I wrote down all the words that I learned because I want to be able to remember.
Yeah, so you did learn some Tanzanian to be able to communicate. So you mentioned porters and you mentioned guides. Mm-hmm. So very quickly, if you could tell us the difference between a porter and a guide.
Okay. So your guides, they medically trained. These are the guides. They all know the path. They know the route, but they stay with you. The porters, they are fantastic. Just all of them. I can't say enough about them. But the porters are the ones that they carry everything to get to camp. So they're carrying water. They're carrying. You have your pack on, but you have your big North Face bag. So I had one porter assigned to me. So he carried my pack. He set up the tent before we would get to camp. You have, you know, just a different porter for every job that needs to be done in camp. So there were 53 porters that went on our trek for 13 KDAs. So that's the ratio.
Yeah,
I mean, there are the outdoor toilets. We have the cook tent. You have the food tent where we ate. All the chairs, the table, everything has to be carried. Your water has to be carried. I mean, every single thing goes with you for an 8-day trek. So the porters, again, absolutely amazing. You get to know them all, especially your guides, because you're with them all day. You have 6 or 7 guides, and when there's an emergency and watching them jump into action, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible the way they take care of you.
All right, I want to ask you another question that is really a little more pointed towards our topic, which is lessons learned and things of that nature. So do you remember a moment during the climb when you thought to yourself, what am I doing here?
Yes, I have that moment
too. So tell us about that moment.
I have the excitement of getting ready to go because you're starting in the rainforest. And that moment to me was on summit night. And that's where not researching probably came in to, can I say, bite me in the bite me in the butt?
Became a negative.
Woo! It really, I remember you're absolutely exhausted. And it was so daunting. You're hiking in the dark. And I will say I like that better because it was so steep and cold and somewhat miserable that if we had been able to see the top and how much further, I don't know. It was almost better to not be able to see. But then what happened is we took a break, which you do frequently. They want you eating. They want you drinking. They say sippy, sippy. All, like they say, pole, pole, sippy, 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 sippy. So you're drinking your water. And before we left, they gave us juice boxes, Snickers, cookies, tons of sugar. They want you just, it's great. That's all, you know. So I'm sitting and Sweet Taylor, this girl, this KDA, we're huddled because you're cold. We're behind this boulder and we're both sipping on a juice box. Ridiculous. Okay. But it tasted amazing in that moment. And you can see these headlamps and they're so far away. And we had been hiking for hours, but those headlamps meant we had hours to go. And at that moment, I didn't think I had it in me. I thought, and I looked at her and I was like, I don't know. I can't. And she's so positive. And she said, you see those headlamps up there? And I said, yeah, so far. I don't know. I'm just whining. And nobody wants to hear that. Everybody's miserable. But she was listening to me and she said, those headlamps were right where we are. And there's headlamps way behind us and they want to be where we are. We're going to get there. We're going to get right where they are. It's going to happen. And I just had to basically put my big girl panties on and say, she's 20 years younger than I am and she's charging up this mountain and she's right. Mm-hmm. But that was the moment, drinking that juice box, hiding behind a boulder, where I just said, I just don't know. This is miserable.
So it almost sounds a little bit like doubt, but would you say that doubt was more based in your physical ability or kind of some of the unknowns of what you were about to accomplish? Because when you get to that altitude, that's the unknown. You have no idea how your body's going to react, whether or not you can physically get through it. So was it more, again, physical doubt because you were starting to hurt and feel the pain of it? Or was it the fear of the unknown? Which was more dominant?
Fear. I'm sorry. B, the second one. It was more physical. The oxygen is getting thinner. I will say, and this is a misconception, a lot of people have asked me this question, you're not gasping for breath. You're not, the air is getting thin, but you don't necessarily feel it in your lungs. There was a lot of our team members that were coughing, and I felt really bad for them. They all had this deep-seated cough in their lungs, and that's all altitude. Some of them had been fighting that for a couple of days. You just get really weak. And I'm going to jump ahead just a hair and tell you that when we got to Stella Point, which was 18,000-ish feet, and that was amazing. The sun starts to come out. And in that moment, that's all we wanted to see was the sun because you know you're getting, you want to get warm. We just needed a break in that mental toughness. That was the most grueling night of my life. We start climbing at 11 p.m. By 5 a.m., how many hours is that? It's still dark. You're still going like this. 1 foot at a time, the air is thin, you're exhausted, my pack had frozen, my Snickers bar was frozen, my water was frozen. You're just falling apart. I was, anyway. I don't think anybody on the team was just sailing up this mountain, right? We're all struggling, and that's why Kilimanjaro is so difficult. It's all mental toughness at that point. And you hope you've trained enough, and you hope you have extra water because your pack is frozen. And thankfully, I did on one of the porters. But anyway, so you get to Stella Point, and you still have to get to the summit, and you can see it. It's right there. What do you mean that's going to take an hour? Hour to an hour and a half is what they told us, and it did. It took every bit of that hour to an hour and a half. But what I was going to say, I felt like I wanted to go to sleep, and that's how you know the oxygen is really thin. I'm not laughing, but all I wanted to do was take a nap. That's it. And I even grabbed one of the porters, and I don't know how far you want me to go with this part.
No, go ahead. Like, go ahead. You're doing great.
All right. We got to Stella Point, and unfortunately for me, I started losing my eyesight. Now, it wasn't blackout. It was, everything was getting blurry, and I got a really bad
pressure.
Which
was also part of the altitude.
That's part of the altitude. you're just freezing and you're exhausted and everything went blurry. And I could see, but I could tell that everything wasn't really sharp and clear. It was just blurry and a pressure headache was starting to set in. And you still have an hour. And I'm hiking and I'm getting weaker. And now we're trying to go from Stella Point to the summit. And it's so slow going. If you can see my hands on Instagram, it's like it's just one after the other at the slowest pace. But that's all you have left. There's no oxygen. You're just moving. And I thought, I'm in a dangerous situation. I feel like I'm going to pass out. My eyesight's getting, you know, really wonky. And I don't know what to do because none of my team members can help me. They're all suffering too. Everybody's just in the same boat.
One of the things I read, I'll interject here real quick. It's described as the old man shuffle. That's how they talked about it, because your feet, you're not able to even really lift them to take true steps. You're just kind of shuffling as you're going that last little bit, right?
Well, that's 100% right. So he must have just been an angel from God, but I look over and Pascal, one of the guides, just happens to be right next to me. You don't always see them. We hike in a line and the guides are in front of you and behind you, but I think for at this point they know and they're watching
you,
and they did tell us that morning. We will be watching you when you guys start looking like it's not all clicking. They come and get near you. And I took Pascal's arm. If you're on Instagram, you can see this. If you're not, but I linked arms with him. And at one point, I basically had to put my head on his shoulder. And I kept saying, I just want to sleep. And he was, no, no, stay awake, stay awake. We're almost there. And we went arm in arm to that summit. I mean, he got me. It's my feet that had to do the walking. He didn't carry me. But I couldn't see. And it was a real dangerous situation for me that I have to get there. I'm so close. At this point, I've got 30 minutes, and I will summit this mountain and check this crazy adventure that I've put myself on. And yes, I wanted it, but you're also not thinking really clear. You're exhausted. My eyesight was gone. You know, you're shuffling. I'm holding on to one of the guides just to get me there. And you want to talk about grit and mental toughness? There's nothing that else that got me to the summit except those two things.
Right. And I want to say
Pascal.
This. Yeah, I want to say this real quick. Like, so we were watching, we were looking through pictures that had been made by a lot of the other KDAs. They all shared a Google Drive with all their individual photos they had made. And as we're scrolling through that, Lita was feeling awkward because she didn't think she had a photo of herself at the summit with the sign. There's this big sign at the top of Kilimanjaro, and they had a group photo, and you could see her in the group photo. But she thought, oh man, I made it all the way up there and never got an individual photo with me standing by the sign. And as we're scrolling through the photos on her Google shared drive, lo and behold, there's a picture of Lita standing by the sign, doing
an arm
muscle and celebrating. And she had no idea that photo had even been made. So that's
thank you, Sibley. She was one of the KDAs. She was my tent mate, sweet, sweet girl, and really enjoyed getting to know her. And after I saw it, I remembered, like, I looked at Sibley and said, will you get one of me? But I didn't remember. Again, I got really sick coming down. My pack froze. I got really severely dehydrated. We haven't started talking about coming down yet, but you forget. You're just exhausted, and it's a long day. It's a 16-hour day. And so, yes, that one picture, but I'm grateful to have it, and I will post it on social media.
I have a ton of questions, but we are going to try and skip through some of the others to get to the more important ones in the moment.
Okay.
So what you've talked about sounds like a big inner voice that's just telling you, you got to do this. I will say this, too. Her motto for herself is she thought she could, so she did.
No.
Well, I hear it all the time. You've got signs that say
you guys know the motto. He's just quoting it wrong. I'm picking. No, stop. She believed she could.
She believed she could.
So she did.
That's it.
I love that one. And that my two girlfriends, all the 50Ks we've run, that's on our shirts. I've been using that motto, and I didn't come up with it. It's on lots of canvases, and you know, you see it all over. But for some reason, it absolutely sticks with me. I love that one more than anything else. So she believed she could, so she did.
All right, let's talk about the inner voice. Was there an inner voice talking to you, you yourself, saying, you got to do this, push, keep going?
100%.
That grit, that drive.
Yes, and there was a lot of the days that you need that inner voice. We went through the summit because that was the most extreme, but the climbing on that trip is not easy. I told you I didn't do any research, and we wake up one of the days – And you have to climb this. It's the Bronco Wall. It's a wall. It's huge. And they're like, you're going to climb that today. And I went, oh, guess I should have researched. I don't know. Should I have researched or not?
But they took you up to what, 15,000 feet that day?
I don't remember if that was the day we did the lava tour. I wish I had the itinerary, but I didn't bring it. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. That day was the funnest day. I enjoyed that real physical climbing with your hands and getting up that wall. Sometimes, you know, the hiking with the poles, it can be monotonous, but it's all beautiful. I'm in Africa. I'm seeing scenery that I will probably never again see in my life. But there were definitely days that were challenging. You're hiking day after day after day, miles every day, altitude every day. You're going up every single day. That is not, and you're sleeping in a tent and you're cold. The whole trek is not easy. There's nothing about it that is a cakewalk.
No, I can believe that.
And then you do the summit, and you have this crazy 16-hour day, and I lost my eyesight, and you got to come down and go all the way down to 10,000 feet. I mean, it's just incredible. So, yes, that grit, that mental toughness, there's hours where I would just be silent and just be hiking, and I would be you're thinking, a lot of time to process, a lot of time to pray. I feel like I spent a lot of time with God. I can say that. I mean, you're in your head and you know, you want to say pass the time, but that's how you pass the time in solace.
I want you to tell a quick story on the way down. After you reached the summit, you're coming down. You talked about all the difficulties you had physically with the summit. But talk about the story you told me where you had your hands over your face.
Oh, yeah.
And sitting.
So the porters, oh, I told you about the guides and Pascal, and he helped me get to the summit. And then we're coming down. And we had come down a couple hours. We were probably, what?
Let me interject real quick. So they started the summit climb at 11 p.m.,
yes.
Correct? At 11 p.m. at night with headlamps, they arrived at daybreak at the summit, and then you came down. So the total amount of hiking, how many hours of hiking was involved in that day?
10, I think.
So imagine
but
10
I don't
hours.
Know. I was so out of it.
Well, true.
I mean, there's that. I would have to ask somebody after, or somebody that was... I think it was, that was 10, but then you still had a few, we still had to go 4.5 more miles. They just give you a break. So
it was the break.
We go up and down and we get to where we had spent the night and they give you lunch and they give you a 1 hour rest. And that's where I talked about at the top of the show where I was suffering from dehydration and was very, very sick. I was nauseous. And here's the problem. I have one kidney. You can, and I was, but I didn't want to be dehydrated on that one kidney. I was panicking. I was crying. I called for the head guide. He called for Emmanuel. We talked through what's going on with me. Again, pounding headache, nauseous, think I'm going to throw up. Got one kidney. I've just hiked all this. I mean, it was a dangerous spot for me to be in. One of our KDAs on day three had to be medically evacuated out off the trek for dehydration. And so I was scared. I had seen what had happened to him, and I didn't want that to happen to me, especially being so close. I had already done the summit. I don't want to be medically evacuated on day 7. I've done the hard part. So I had to take care of myself. But I still had 5 miles to hike.
Yeah, well, tell the story about the hands.
So we're coming down. I'm backing up just a hair from the dehydration. But when the story Derek wants me to tell, so I'm coming down, and the porters... Here they come. They're coming up the mountain like angels. Oh, you just know they're there to help. And they take your pack off you, which is heavy, and just getting that weight off your back, especially we'd been coming down for almost 2 hours. Your knees are shot. Your quads are shot. You're exhausted. I was, again, suffering from dehydration. I was very disoriented. I still didn't quite have my eyesight back. Now my head is pounding. And you take little breaks along the way, sippy, sippy, pole, pole. And I put my hands, on my knees. They sit me on a boulder, and they're basically carrying me at this point, not physically, because they can't, but they linked arms. I had one porter on each arm, and they're guiding me down the mountain so I don't fall. And they were doing that with everyone. That was not just me. They grab every person coming down and help at this point. Not from the top. Again, they came, I think we had about an hour and a half left in the trek, and they showed up. So I put my hands on my head just to take a break. I told you I was exhausted. and they're waking me up, you know, Miss Lita, and they're poking me. And I opened my eyes and everybody was gone. Like, I had literally fallen asleep, was just so sick. I was just in my own hands. And they're like, we need to go. They just knew they had to get me out of the altitude. They had to get me down off that mountain. They were wonderful. I couldn't have gotten down without them. I'm sure somehow I would have. But when we link arms and one of them had my pack and it's the three of us and here we go down Kilimanjaro, it was just a moment I will never forget.
I have 100 million more questions, but we can't get to all of those. I do want to skip ahead a little bit. So give me three main lessons. We'll call it that. Main lessons that you learned from these two adventures, Guatemala and also to Kilimanjaro, that give you the mental toughness that you didn't have before. Your mental toughness has grown as a result of this. So give me those three main lessons, just focusing on mental toughness.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with the word willpower.
Okay.
For the first one. It takes tremendous internal willpower to know that you can do it, but willpower is actually doing it. There's the knowledge of it, and oh, that sounds fun. It's just like running a race or a marathon, or even if you don't run and it's a 5K. Willpower is what's going to get you to the finish line. The willpower is what got me to the summit and what got me down. And the same thing in Guatemala. You have to know and bring that word to the surface, because just getting on the trip is one thing, but having the willpower to do the summits and complete the climb or complete the race or whatever it might be, whether it's a bad habit, I'm not trying to get off topic, but willpower is what breaks these things,
sure.
Right? The next one would be self-confidence, in that I can fly by myself to these other countries. I can train. I can sleep in a tent. I have to
on the side of a volcano.
On the side of a volcano, on the side of Kilimanjaro. I can meet these strangers. I can do this all by myself. Yes, I'm going to be with a team when I get there, and that's wonderful. But there's self-confidence in knowing I'm going to get along with this team and I'm going to make friends. And I mean, it's just this inner knowing of I can do this. And then the first word was willpower. I can and I will, hence the willpower. The third one, what's the third one?
Let's do this. We talked about mental toughness. How about physical toughness? Because mental toughness is different from the physical toughness.
It is different than physical toughness. Yeah. What's popping into my mind is the word regret, but it's not having regret, meaning I've got myself into this situation and I've got the willpower to do it. I've got the self-confidence to be here, but you can't regret these choices. And that could creep in when it gets tough, that little negativity that's sitting on one shoulder. Can I finish this? Am I regretful that I'm here? Am I grateful that I've done it, or do I wish I hadn't? And that may seem silly, but when you're really in the thick of it, and we use that word grit, when you're digging deep and you're finding that willpower and you're using all the grit that you have, you can't regret your choices.
Sure.
You have to absolutely embrace it and move forward and complete whatever task it is. And so those would be my three mental toughness.
Okay.
So no regrets, not the word regret, but not having any regrets, just moving forward, willpower and self-confidence. Next, you asked me physical. Definitely the training. The training goes into it. The more trained, everybody that is a KDA kidney donor athletes, you know, everybody was looked at, applied. Everybody's physical fitness, you know, was taken into consideration before this trip. How much hiking do you do? How physically fit are you? And so that's very important. And so the training for me specifically that I did, I just said I didn't let off the gas, but I trained for almost a year for Guatemala and just continued to train, especially once I knew I was going to do Kilimanjaro. And having the endurance, that's a big one. I can train and I can be physically strong, but if I don't have the endurance for an 8-day trek, I've got nothing. And I did, thankfully, whether I fell apart at the top, but I mean, who knows how your body is going to react over 19,000 feet? You have no idea. Luckily, I pulled through, and I didn't have anything serious happen until I got home.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, we have to get to it because we're running out of time.
Lastly, go ahead. Give me one lesson that your soul took away from this. You talked about mind, you talked about body, the physical aspect, but your soul. What? Give me one terrific lesson that you took away from Kilimanjaro and Guatemala combined.
Hard tasks have the greatest reward. And I don't know if that's my quote or if I've heard that somewhere, but doing these amazing challenges have both been incredibly hard, and yet they have the biggest reward for anything I've ever done. Giving a kidney was incredibly hard. Mentally, the anxiety portion, surgery, recovering. I did well and I recovered, but it doesn't mean that there wasn't a level of mental toughness that I possessed that got me through that. Mm-hmm. And how rewarding has that been? My dad is still here. We celebrated Easter with him yesterday. That is hugely rewarding. We're coming up, what, year 7?
Yeah.
That we just said? I mean, wow, it's incredible. And so not only that, but doing this and spreading the mission and anyone, the hardest tasks. Again, I used overcoming an addiction or running a race or, I mean, there's every kind of life lesson, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, changing careers, getting a divorce, getting married. I don't know. Hard things, maybe that's why I do so much with personal development and fear and conquering all these things, because I know what's on the other side of it. It's amazing.
On the documentary, you made a terrific comment. I can't remember the quote specifically, word for word, but basically you said, in donating the kidney to your dad, you had no idea what doors that was going to open for you and the opportunities, the adventures with KDA.
That's right.
Guatemala and Kilimanjaro, and the lessons that you've learned from that. But let's talk again, more in the interest of time. So let's talk about the things that have now affected you after you've returned home from the Kilimanjaro summit. First of all, were there the blues that came with the return home, kind of like you had with Guatemala?
I had the blues. We talked about that on the last show. No, not with Kilimanjaro. There have been no blues. It was after Guatemala, I really had this itch to do something else. And maybe it's that inner knowing that Kilimanjaro was right around the corner.
You don't think it pushed you all the way to the limit?
No.
And you still were craving the opportunity to.
I was craving something else. It was such an incredible opportunity, trip, euphoric. I've used that word when describing it, from the culture, from the people, from the KDAs, from the climbs themselves. I remember our third summit, and when you watch the video, I'm just sobbing, and the sweet Brittany's up there like cheering. I mean, it's just the way I processed it. You know, it was happy tears, but it was like, I can't believe I was thinking about my dad and just thinking about the accomplishment. And it was amazing. I did sob when we hit Stella Point. I think I was just so grateful to see the sun. I was just standing, but it was like I would cheer and hug somebody, and then I would cry, and then I would cheer and hug. I don't know, my emotion, you're exhausted. And again, I didn't have any eyesight at that point. It was crazy. So anyway, moving forward, let me get back on point. I had the blues a little bit, kind of knowing that there was some more adventure that I needed to seek, and grabbed Kilimanjaro. It was a hard yes to go on this trip, but no, it feels very, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to do an adventure. I can't wait to see what KDA comes up with. Love to do Machu Picchu, right, Derek?
Yes.
We're going to go do that.
Yes,
we got to get Derek.
Talked about that.
Yes, lots of cool things, but I don't have that burning desire to get something on the calendar. Kilimanjaro stands alone.
And
that
so
was,
we're clear.
That was a lot.
Everest is off the table. It's not going to happen.
Oh, I was hard set on base camp.
Everest.
I know.
That's
going to be a few. It's almost like having a baby. It's so amazing and so challenging and so painful. You got to pause for a little bit when you get done and say,
sure.
Okay. Again, it's crazy that I.
Yeah, and Kilimanjaro is 19,321?
19,134.
19,134 feet. Gosh, Everest is 29,000 and
change. No interest in that.
All right, I do want to talk about this. So, did the Kilimanjaro climb take a toll on your body?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
It's 2 weeks. I got back 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks
today,
ago.
Today, and I've been laid up for the last 2 weeks. So unfortunately, It's been a rough 2 weeks for me. I got back. I say I got back on a Monday. I didn't tell the world I was coming back till Monday because I knew I would be exhausted. And right, on a different time zone. But I actually got back on St. Paddy's Day. We got back pretty late that night. And I went straight to sleep. And on Monday, unfortunately, a blood clot had set into my calf. And it turned out they call it an SVT, a superficial vein thrombosis. And not to worry, they didn't put me on any meds. Just rest easy, go home, take it easy, which was great. I was so exhausted. I was actually sound asleep while they were doing the ultrasound.
Right. Your leg was swollen.
Couldn't stay awake.
Bruised.
I could feel it, my calf, and you could see the blood kind of pooling in my calf. But I also had a bad stomach for a week. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I brought back an African parasite of some site, but I was just, I couldn't stay awake. I put my body through the limit, and I'm proud of that. I don't mind coming home and recovering. Like, you know, you've done something hard when there's something to recover from. That's part of the grit for me. But I didn't like the blood clot. I don't mind, you know, being exhausted. I don't mind getting back on this time zone. I don't mind giving my body a rest. All that was to be expected. I did not anticipate a blood clot, and I felt like I did everything right. I wore compression on the plane, tried to drink lots of water, tried to move a little, but I don't know if it was the flight. The doctor seems to think it could have been when I got dehydrated on the mountain itself. I talked about that during the show, that dehydration can lead to clots. I do have a problem in my right leg. I'm not going to go into the whole thing because we're just time. I don't need to tell you all my medical problems, but I do have a vein problem in that leg. And so they weren't surprised. This could be a Lita problem, not a hiking Kilimanjaro problem. And so it did turn into a deep vein thrombosis the following Monday, a week ago today. I was back in and had to have another ultrasound, and it turned into the more serious situation. They put me on blood thinners immediately. I've been on crutches this week and laying low, truly laying low. This is only the second time, third time I've actually
elevation,
gotten dressed.
It
feels
all
good
those things,
to be back amongst the living. But it was scary. When you have a deep vein thrombosis, you don't want it to turn into a pulmonary embolism. And I don't think Derek slept. I'd make that joke, but I really don't think he slept much, just making sure that I was okay and watching me during the night. So, but I'm okay. I'm here. I'm talking to you. The pain is almost gone. I'm walking again. The blood thinners have done their job. I have another ultrasound in the morning to see where we're at. So hopefully we are not in any life-threatening condition, but we don't know that at this point.
Finally, are your mind, body, and soul stronger now because of what you went through than they were when you started?
1,000%. 1,000%.
And if
absolutely.
Somebody came to you and said, Lita, I have the opportunity to go summit 3 volcanoes in Guatemala and or summit Kilimanjaro, what advice would you give them?
I would 1,000,000% do it. And KDA is actually taking applications right now for kidney donors for the next Guatemala climb. And I was the first one. Do it. Life-changing experience. By all means, message me, reach out to me. And I did have some KDAs interested,
really?
Private message. I know you've been working and I've been stuck on the couch.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, yes, I'm a big champion of it. But any adventure travel, you don't have to be a KDA. If you're listening to this and you're just saying, you know, I feel like something's missing. I feel like I need some adventure. I mean, this doesn't have to be just because I donated a kidney. I do these things. That's part of my story. But what is your story? What fear do you want to conquer? Is it a Spartan race or a warrior dash or, you know, where you do a 5K and do some cool challenges? Is it, there's a million things. Go take a dance class. I mean, yeah. I mean, mine seems to be high elevation hiking.
Right.
So yeah, I love hiking and I can't wait. I'm already, you know,
which
planning.
Is interesting because you really weren't into it before this.
That yes and
not
no.
So much.
I was very much into hiking in college, way before you. You didn't know me at that point, no. But I did. And I love being, but I'm a trail runner. All my 50Ks that I've run are all trail races. As much of a runner as I am, I hate the pavement. I am a true trail runner. And so it's a very natural fit for me to take running and the running that I love to do on the trails and to hiking. It's just being outdoors.
So today's show is about Guatemala and the volcanoes as well as Kilimanjaro. Tell people where they can go to find photos and a little more stories about the adventures and your social media.
Yes. Well, that will all launch today. Status Life with Lita. That is the the name of the podcast. That is my Instagram. If you're following this, you follow me, great. Please share, you know, give me the like, give me the follow, tell your friends. I love all that. I just love connecting with people. I love my DMs when everybody asks me all the fabulous questions. I probably should do a listener question show soon because I have so many coming in. But we've just had so many great topics and guests. So Status Life with Lita. If you need to reach me directly and you don't want to DM, statuslifewithlita@gmail.com. That is my email. But I'm on all the platforms. I'm going to start launching all the content from the Kilimanjaro hike. My goal was today. It's April 1st. I really wasn't comfortable posting it all. I don't know why. There was something about having a life-threatening blood clot and posting about the adventure. I just needed a week to pause. It was mental for me.
Sure.
I wanted to make sure. I felt like if something happened, I know this might sound morbid and I'm sorry to close on this, but if something happened, I didn't want to post about this great thing and then something happened to me.
Right. And I would not want to read about it if something did.
I don't know. I've been in a tough situation. I wouldn't change for a second Kilimanjaro. What I would change is I need a leg surgery and I would have done that before Killy, but I didn't know. What you know now is hindsight. I needed this. I knew I had a vein problem. Something's wrong with the main artery. I would have done it. I had no idea that the altitude hiking would affect me. So we're going to have the surgery soon. So maybe the next time I podcast, I'll have had it.
Yeah. Well, go check out the social media. Follow all the stories, especially about Kilimanjaro and Guatemala, KDA. KDA also has their social media. It's KDA, Kidney Donor Athletes.
Check out .org.
Check out their Instagram. They also have, I believe, Facebook as well. Lots of great stories. Embark. You can also give a shout out to Embark.
I'll have all that tagged on my social media. Like I said, I want to go from day one and really start taking you guys through the journey. This was day one. This was day two. I'm going to go through every day, but I wanted to do it, you know, now that I'm better and now I can process all of it. I'm back up on my feet.
Well, thank you all again very much for joining us on Status Life with Lita, presented by Business Radio X, Derek Hayes Law, and Five Strands Affordable Testing. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and Lita's Instagram, Status Life with Lita, so you don't miss any upcoming shows. This program and all the other shows are available in your favorite podcast apps. Until next time, for Lita Brooks Hayes, I'm Derek Hayes, and you are listening to Status Life with Lita on Business Radio X.